Hour number two, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. Talking a little bit of college football, shall we? Coaching carousel has been something to behold so far this season. And obviously we're not going to figure out who's going where for some time. But it is kind of fun to go down this rabbit hole of, well, if this happens, then this could happen, and this can happen, and this can happen. And we'll get into that in just a second. Real quick, let me tell you, this Sunday, the NFL game of the week is the Jaguars versus the Raiders at 3:05 on 94.9 The Fan. NFL game of the week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Massero in 12 South. So, Nick Frazier, the three marquee jobs that come to mind that are open in college football: LSU, who has just fired Brian Kelly this week, Florida, who fired Billy Napier last week, correct?
Mm-hmm. Sorry,
that was awesome.
2 weeks ago.
That was awesome.
2 weeks ago.
Oh, Nick Frazier just punched his mic with his chin.
Pretty mad about it, just because Mississippi State could have easily won that game. They're in field goal position, and they chose to try to get it closer.
Mississippi State.
Just run the ball. I mean, this team could be undefeated right now.
Yeah, they could.
Or at least one loss.
Yeah. I mean, should have beat Texas.
Should have beat Texas. Should have beat Tennessee. Should have beat Florida. Should have, could have, would have. Had no chance against
A&M. We could do that all day.
Yeah. Had no chance against A&M. That's besides the point. High school coaches. College coaches that are open right now.
So LSU, Florida, and then, of course, Penn State.
Yep.
Quick trigger-happy on James Franklin. The more I look back at it, the more I'm like, they should have at least let him finish the season.
No.
Really?
It would have gotten sour. I think so. Even though that was his dream job, I think that – that situation would have got – it was already sour, to be honest with you. You lose to UCLA like that, yeah, that, you just can't do that. At a Power 4 school that coming into the season they were a top three, top four team, and then they just fall off a cliff like that, nah, it doesn't work.
So I'm going to go out on a limb.
Sure.
And say that all three of these coaches next season will be coaching somewhere. I think Franklin, ironically, will find his way into one of the jobs I just mentioned.
Uh-huh.
I think he finds his way to Florida.
Oh, I don't know. I think I've been hearing a lot of stuff on Twitter and reading stuff.
Virginia Tech is kind of the front runner, but
yeah.
And I could totally see him going there as well. But I think Florida makes sense for him in that I don't think Florida is going to go for another G5 coach.
Right.
The Billy Napier was, let's not play revisionist history. A couple years ago when Billy Napier was hired, he was the number one G5 coach candidate in the nation. So it looked like a home run hire on paper for Florida, and then obviously it went stale. I think Florida wants an established guy, a guy that they know can come in and probably win immediately. James Franklin, I think, is that guy. I don't think Brian Kelly would do it. I don't think we'll ever see him in the SEC again because he's proven he can't really compete.
Right.
I do think Brian Kelly ends up at Penn State. I think he does enough and, you know, shakes enough hands and kisses enough babies to find his way into Happy Valley. But as for Florida, I think James Franklin makes sense. A lot of people are going to say Lane Kiffin. And a lot of people will say Lane Kiffin for LSU. And we'll get into Lane Kiffin here in a second. But long story short, I wouldn't leave Ole Miss if I was Lane Kiffin.
No.
I think it's too good of a job right now. The thing with Ole Miss is Lane Kiffin can go 9-3, 10-2 every year. And that fan base and those boosters will be satisfied. At LSU and Florida State, you can't do that. There are national title expectations year in and year out. So, and quite frankly, right now, I think Ole Miss is a better job than Florida is. I think Ole Miss has the tools and the NIL money and, you know, the uniforms to lure in some top talent in the portal and recruiting. And I think Lane Kiffin can absolutely be the guy there. For Lane Kiffin, and I heard Parker talking about this yesterday on the George Blaster Show, ironically, it's a matter of, does he want to put his legacy on the line or go win a national championship? And that's not to say he can't do it at Ole Miss, but I think he has a lot better chance of doing it at LSU than he does at Ole Miss. However, I think Ole Miss makes more sense for him. You also got to factor in he has some family stuff
yep.
going on in Ole Miss.
Yep.
His daughter attends there, and his daughter and him, they have a good relationship now, a very good relationship, but
sure.
in the past they haven't. I think his family is established at Ole Miss. They're in Oxford. They live there. They're happy there. I think Lane Kiffin is good where he is at Ole Miss.
Look, if there's a spot for Lane Kiffin to leave Ole Miss, which would be great for me as a State fan, but
you'd love it.
I would love it, yeah. But if there's a place, destination that could possibly have him for years to come, it'd be Florida. Primarily because Lane Kiffin, he just fits the mold of a Florida Gator in a roundabout way. That's a program that's been yearning for a winning pedigree coach. Obviously, you could have held on to Dan Mullen, but you wanted to go on towards Billy Napier. Still, that remains, I don't understand how that took place, but whatever. I think Florida is the spot for Lane Kiffin, even though he went on McAfee's show last week and said, look, I don't dictate my moves as a coach off money. I never have, never will. A little bit of that's, I'd say, a little hubbubaloo a little bit, but I mean, at the same time, you got to think of his agent's probably thinking, no, this is definitely a money thing. I don't know what you're doing, because that takes money out of his pocket as well. Florida, for me, all these coaching carousels, I go, Florida be Lane Kiffin. I still think, well, primarily because of the Brian Kelly firing, it ruffled some feathers for Florida State.
Yeah.
I still think Mike Norvell is out the door.
Yeah, that's another one.
And if that is the case, if Mike Norvell is canned before James Franklin says yes to Virginia Tech, I think that's where James Franklin goes, Florida State.
Chase and I were talking about this the other day, and I think he raised a point I didn't think about, and I'm having trouble getting on board with it, but I could honestly see it happening on some level. If Mike Norvell is fired from Florida State,
mm-hmm.
do you think Florida State would give Jimbo Fisher a call?
No, absolutely not. I don't think Jimbo Fisher wants to really coach. I mean, I don't know Jimbo Fisher firsthand. I just, when you get paid X amount of dollars to sit on your tush every day from A&M with all that oil money sitting in
nice.
Your, in, yeah, thank you, all that oil money sitting in your bank account, why? I mean, you're doing probably one or two radio hits a day on whatever radio station it is, and you're going to play 9 holes or 18 holes of golf 4 or 5 times a week. Why in the world would you want to go back into coaching when, obviously, he probably still wants to coach in some, a roundabout way maybe, but
yeah.
at the same time, you could easily just be an analyst for somebody and or just give your 2 cents about the current state of college football.
He's on ACC Network, if I'm not mistaken.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's your 2 cents you're getting from Jimbo Fisher every once in a while. I don't see any – if I'm a current college program, I don't want to go after Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I just think – obviously, he didn't really
– he's been out of the game for 2 years.
Right. He didn't adapt with the times when it came to the NIL and all this transitioning of all that. So I'm kind of out on Jimbo. Maybe his philosophies still work on the field, but I don't know if he's up for the challenge of the portal and NIL and managing all the financials of it all, because then now he has to operate under a general manager. That's something he didn't really have to do, air quotes, under the old BCS era into
yeah.
the early college football playoff.
That's a great point by you, because look at the coaches right now that currently have jobs that are refusing to adapt with the times. There's one that comes to mind over in Clemson, South Carolina,
yeah.
named Dabo Swinney. Dabo Swinney has refused to adapt with the NIL times, thinks he's higher than thou, and look at his season right now. He's got 4 losses. He's going to miss the playoff. They're going to be playing in the Liberty Bowl or
yeah.
something like that. There are others as well, but I'm kind of going down the rabbit hole of playing these hypothetical scenarios, and we can do this on the other side too.
Sure.
What if Steve Sarkisian leaves Texas for the NFL, like the reports have said he's going to? What if Marcus Freeman leaves Notre Dame for the NFL? What if, you know, you just did one, Mike Norvell gets fired? Who takes the Arkansas job? Will Kentucky ever fire Stoops and cure my depression? We could play this game for hours, but
absolutely.
There's so many moving parts on here, and honestly, I think a lot of it hinges on one guy, and that's Lane Kiffin.
Mm. So you're basically saying Lane Kiffin's going to set the market,
basically.
Interesting.
I think so. Assuming if he leaves, he's going to. Now, a lot of coaches have signed extensions, like you saw Matt Rhule yesterday signed a 2-year extension, so that probably knocks him out of the Penn State job. Kurt Cignetti signed a massive extension a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Among his talks, coaches are going to start signing extensions. So if Ole Miss came out today and said Lane Kiffin has signed a 2-year extension with the Rebels, I would not be surprised.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because I think they want to keep him, and I think he would like to stay there.
Let's get into that on the other side.
Let's do that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Hold on for me, Chris. I'll get to you on the other side. If you want to chime in on the coaching carousel conversation, lots of open jobs, lots of hypothetical scenarios we can play, and we'll do that coming up next here on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game. There you go. Michael Jackson, baby. Next man up, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Welcome back in. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you. Jake Lyman out in Petty covering Vanderbilt women's basketball. Should be a fun time for them this weekend. It's probably like 4 in the afternoon right now. But
yeah, I believe France is 6 hours ahead.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yes. Maybe he's checking out a PSG game while he's out there.
Maybe, actually. Yeah, it is in season. Yeah. I keep forgetting.
I think they are in season.
They are.
FIFA Masterclass when I play with them. We're discussing the coaching carousel in college football and how much fun, first of all, it is to talk about. But the hypothetical situations. What if Steve Sarkisian leaves for the NFL, we'll say? What if Marcus Freeman leaves for the NFL? Who takes those jobs? And a texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Jeremy in Clarksville, says, what program is going to replace Saban's coach rehabilitation? Meaning, what program is going to be just the supplier of head coaches throughout the nation? You look at the Saban coaching tree. Lane Kiffin obviously comes from that. Steve Sarkisian, Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning, all of these top head coaches across the nation come from that program. I think he's asking which program is going to replicate that. And to be honest with you, I don't know if there is a program that can replicate that. But if you were to ask me who I think could come close, I think it's Georgia. I think Kirby Smart is has built something down there as far as, you know, coaching.
Sure.
Maybe not Mike Bobo is the example, but the defensive coordinator out there is obviously very good. I could see him getting a head coaching job. You have assistants out there that I think could get head coaching jobs, and maybe not this year, but in the future. What made Saban's replication so interesting was Dan Lanning was a graduate assistant and made his way up to head coach. He became the defensive coordinator at Georgia, and then it became the head coach at Oregon, and he's maybe the best coach in the entire nation. You could make an argument. Lane Kiffin obviously had his journey before Alabama as the offensive coordinator, but it redefined him so he could take the Ole Miss job and be successful there. Kirby Smart was defined by Alabama and, again, is maybe the best coach in the entire nation. I don't know if you can replicate that for a program today, but Georgia, I think, would be my pick to do it.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia, you're right. They're kind of already there. The only pushback for that is the consistency defensively.
Yeah.
I think that's the only issue because under Saban, we also saw at the latter ends of his career with Alabama, things were starting to fall off a little bit if it came from the quarterback play, offensive line, whatever it may be. I think Georgia is that replication of that, like you're alluding to. Maybe, would you ever see Kirby Smart move off of Georgia?
Absolutely not.
No.
No.
Okay. I don't know. If things kind of...
That's a top three job in the country.
Yeah.
I don't think you could ever move off of that. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I promised I would. Vandy Chris on our line wanted to talk about the coaching carousel. Chris, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Generally, I'm at work at this time, so I'm a first-time listener, and I want to jump in on this. I don't think LSU is all that attractive of a job right now. Because if you look at what's going on there, they have no university president. Their AD, it was announced last night, is out. Mm-hmm. You have the governor playing politics, who, by all accounts, just started last year when Scott Woodward refused to rehire Will Wade. And the governor was mad about that, and now he's cutting the AD's throat. This reminds me of Tennessee in 2017. When you had Phil Fulmer in the background sniping Blackburn, who is the sitting AD, in his coaching search. And it's just not an attractive job. There's not a head coach with any reputation, Lane Kiffin, James Franklin, et cetera, that want to walk into that situation. It's just not going to happen. Lane Kiffin, it was reported last week that Ole Miss matched their $31 million offer for him. And he had a team meeting last week before the Oklahoma game. He's not going anywhere. I don't think Lane Kiffin sets the market. I think James Franklin to Arkansas they're going heavy in on him, just like they tried to in 2013, I mean. Mm-hmm. They tried to hire him then. Arkansas is all in on James Franklin. I think he sets the market at Arkansas, and everybody else falls in line. I'll hang up and listen while you guys talk about it. Just wanted to give you those thoughts.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Thanks for calling. Interesting points there.
That's a great call.
That is a great call. I see his point on LSU not being an attractive job. There are a lot of politics being played there. Like he said, last night it is reported that the governor and the athletic director,
Scott Woodward,
got into a dispute.
Woodard,
whatever, got into a dispute, and the athletic director is out. They have no university president, so they have no one overlooking the entire university. That said, LSU is still a premier destination in college football. They have maybe the loudest fans in all of sports. Sure. I still think someone is going to look at that and say, I can revive this program.
If I'm a free agent coach, per se, I'm saying gimme, gimme, gimme. This is a king's ransom offer. Like, it wouldn't be the university offering you the money. You'd be the one, like we talked about earlier about Lane Kiffin. Is he one setting the market? Whatever coach wants that LSU job, he's going to say, gimme whatever you got, and I want X amount of dollars. And unfortunately, LSU's going to be put into a situation where they got to pressure hire. They have to hire somebody under
pressure. They are not, I promise you, they're not going to go G5.
Oh, no.
Unless it's like they really, really love John Sumrall.
Or Alex Golish.
But I think they're going to try and get someone, maybe lure someone already established to take that job. Kind of like what they did with Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Like maybe they go after, like a Sharon Moore or Ryan Day or someone like that that's already established. Now, if I'm Ryan Day, I'm not moving off of Ohio State. But I think they try to throw the bag at someone like that. How successful it is, I don't know. He also made an interesting point there. James Franklin to Arkansas.
Yeah.
I think my pick for Arkansas would honestly be John Gruden. I could see that coming because Gruden's expressed interest in returning to coaching, and he's always been adamant he wants to coach in the SEC.
Yeah.
Arkansas doesn't really have much to lose. They can afford to take a guy with no college experience, head coaching, that is. I think that would be a great fit, honestly. But he does raise an interesting point. If Arkansas wants to win now and go all in the portal and even recruiting-wise, James Franklin might be a good pick.
Yeah, look, I'll probably ruffle some feathers when I say this. If James Franklin were to go to Arkansas, I think it would be not a disaster hire. It would just be a bad choice on his part if he agreed to that. Because the SEC
is it's going to be humbling.
It's a lot stronger. It's a lot more difficult to win now than it was when you were with Vanderbilt. I'm sorry to say that to you, James Franklin. It's tough. It's really tough. So the fact of the matter is, if you're going to coach Arkansas, you're better off coaching in the ACC.
Yeah.
Because, again, we're in the South, so you can say SEC is king when it comes to stuff like this. But SEC and Big Ten, they're neck and neck for the most part. Those are the top two Power Four, conferences that really run all of college football. But when it comes to James Franklin, I think he's reached the level of coaching to where you got to go to the ACC.
Let me throw a hypothetical at you.
Sure.
And there's one coach that I think we haven't talked about that I think is going to get some conversations. And I don't think he leaves his current job, but let me throw this at you. Let's say Marcus Freeman decides he wants to leave for the NFL, leave Notre Dame, and go be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Not actually, but let's say he does that. If you're Notre Dame, do you give Clark Lea a call?
I mean, he's got some DNA up there.
Exactly.
I mean, he understands the Irish mentality. But again, it's more about when you go back to the NFL with Cliff Kingsbury to the Titans, it'd be more of like, what can you tell me, Tennessee, for me to go to coach the Titans? Same thing with Clark Lea, in my opinion. He's built this program from literally the studs up. What can Notre Dame offer him that Vandy cannot? Obviously, they're an independent school.
Notre Dame can offer a whole lot Vanderbilt can't.
I understand that, but he's built so much here. Why would he want to pick up and leave to go to Notre Dame, which, again, a great, great university, but at the same time, I think what he has established at Vanderbilt here in Nashville is something you can replicate it, but not to this degree, if that makes sense.
I hear you. And look, he's beloved in this city. He's
born and raised here, man.
Born and raised. He played at Vanderbilt. That's why I say I don't think he would leave that job. However, if Notre Dame were to call, that is, to many, the job of jobs in college football. And you get a lot off of your plate. You don't have to play in the SEC anymore. You don't have to play in a conference anymore. You can schedule who you want. You're going to be on national television every single week. They have a great fan base. They're a lot easier for them to get into the college football playoff as they don't play in a conference.
Right.
And like you said, he's got some blood there. He was the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame before he came here. So I think it would make sense if Notre Dame were to try and offer Clark Lea. Again, this is completely hypothetical. I personally don't think Marcus Freeman would ever leave Notre Dame, nor do I think he has reason to. It came out this week that both Penn State and Florida both gave Marcus Freeman a call, and he hung up immediately. So I think that kind of says a lot to where his interest level is at leaving Notre Dame. But he has come up in rumors about maybe possibly leaving to take an NFL coaching job, so figured I'd throw that hypothetical at you.
It's interesting. I mean, there are a lot of opportunities for guys like Marcus Freeman and Steve Sarkisian to make the jump from college to pros.
I don't think Sarkisian would translate well in the NFL.
No, and I think after his little message he had after the Mississippi State game about his people saying, put out a statement saying, this is all false, whatever, yada, yada.
I don't think he would. I think Marcus Freeman would translate perfectly.
Yeah.
But I don't think Sarkisian would translate. He's a college coach to me.
If it happens, it happens.
But if it happens, it happens. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you've got more college football coaching carousel thoughts. College football thoughts in general. We got some big games this weekend. Tennessee and Oklahoma in a playoff elimination game. Basically, whoever loses is probably out of the 12-team playoff. Vanderbilt on the road, taking on Texas, which I could honestly see Vanderbilt winning that game. But coming up next, our good buddy Trey Wallace from Outkick, Outkick college football reporter, is going to join us. We're going to ask him something about this coaching carousel conversation, because I think it's interesting. And we'll talk about the games coming up this weekend. That's all right here up next on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Halloween Friday. Should be a fun night tonight. Be safe. Talking a little bit of college ball. And to help us do that, we welcome in our good friend, Outkick senior college football reporter Trey Wallace to the program to talk a little college ball with us. Trey, good morning.
Happy Halloween, I guess. Like, this has been one of the wildest weeks I've seen. I guess they're having their own kind of circus in Baton Rouge.
Right. So let's start right there, Trey. Baton Rouge, LSU. The job is obviously open as Brian Kelly was fired after the A&M blowout on Saturday. Then last night it comes out that LSU is firing their athletic director. The situation seems to be in a lot of hot water. So I guess my question to you is, how attractive do you think that job is now?
So it's going to be twofold in this situation. It's going to be who does – and by the way, this search is going to happen pretty quick for an athletic director. Usually some of these schools have time. So, I mean, you're going to have an interim. I'll lay it out first. They don't have a president right now. They don't have an athletic director. And obviously they don't have a head coach. So you got to figure out which order are you about to go down. Because in my opinion, if you're going to hire a head coach, you need to have your permanent athletic director first, because you don't want to walk into a situation – and then also, by the way, usually the presidents are the ones that hire the athletic director. So it's kind of a time crunch right now in Baton Rouge. Now, they did come out and say this morning that, look, whatever Governor Landry said this week, it's not going to be held against. We're going to have the big contracts and the buyouts and whatnot. Pretty much they took a fire extinguisher to what Governor Landry was talking about this week. About how these contracts are so out of control. And I think, you know, to get back to the question I was trying to lay it out there is, I do think it's attractive still. I do think it's still LSU, one of the best college football programs in the country, in my opinion, just looking at college football, okay, not looking at the whole athletic department,
right,
because that's a mess. But, you know, is Lane Kiffin in a month or so going to talk to Jimmy Sexton and be like, hey, Jimmy, how's the situation down in Baton Rouge right now? You know, is it different than what's going on in Gainesville? Obviously. But I think that when we get down to the nuts and bolts of it at the end of the day, I think this is still one of those jobs that you go after. The problem is – you're going to have to navigate all of this nonsense going on right now. Because, again, brother, I'll get back to it. Like, even if you have a president, the president's not going to be on the job long enough. The AD's not going to be technically on the job long enough because you're trying to hire a head coach probably in the middle of December once the first round of the playoffs come to an end. We'll see what happens with Ole Miss and other schools. But this is a cluster, guys, and probably the craziest thing, I just wrote about it, and I think folks in the Middle Tennessee area and all your other affiliates will understand, it reminds me of 2017 when former AD John Curry flew out to California and was waiting on a park bench for Mike Leach to show up and said that he couldn't be in contact because he didn't have Wi-Fi on the plane. Like, that's where we're at now.
Trey Wallace is with us here on Next Man Up. Trey, you mentioned LSU, and you mentioned Lane Kiffin, and we had a caller kind of disagree with us here earlier, but do you think college football is just waiting on Lane Kiffin to set the head coaching market going forward?
I think it's going to be very, very tricky because Lane, and by the way, the whole circumstances around this, I don't know how long these schools are going to wait. And the only way that these schools are going to wait, and here's what I'm talking about, because we have our on-campus games in the college football playoff. That's going to be the middle of December. Then you're going to have quarterfinals. Then you're going to have semifinals. Lane Kiffin could be coaching Ole Miss, and he might end up staying, but he could be coaching Ole Miss until, I don't know, right when the transfer portal opens on the 4th or the 5th of January. So to me, that's what makes this whole thing intriguing, because how long is Florida, how long is, oh, and I was about to say Ole Miss, LSU going to wait? I think there are going to be other jobs that open up in the next 2 weeks that are going to make this whole situation even more interesting compared to our, I'm looking at you, Florida State and Auburn, and maybe one other. So to me, it's, we're in this different cycle right now, and I'm very curious how athletic directors are going to look at this and try to approach, because you guys know this. If, let's just say Lane Kiffin does leave Ole Miss for one of these schools, and let's just say they get bounced in the quarterfinals. Okay, well, the narrative around that's going to be, well, he really wasn't focused on Ole Miss. You know, the outside distractions got to the football team. You know, that's the reason why we lost. So I'm curious just to see how far does the handshake deal go. And if he does decide to go somewhere, you got to keep that on the down low. Like, there has to only be like one or two people that actually know it's going to happen. Because at the same time, guys, some of these schools are going to be punting on high school recruiting, because early signing day is first week of December. Okay, well, you're not going to have a head coach in by then. So what do you do about the high school recruiting part? To me, it's all fascinating. You'd have to go to the second date that would come up in February. And again, this thing is just all over the place because of the dates now that we have in the sport.
Trey, there's another guy out there in the coaching search that I think plays a bit of a role that people are kind of overlooking. His name is James Franklin. How much of a wrench do you think he could throw into some program's plans in hiring a head coach?
Well, I'm curious if he's about to take the Virginia Tech job.
That too.
But yeah. I think James Franklin is going to be playing the waiting game here for a minute. Doesn't want to jump on something too quick. Like, unless he knows for a certainty that certain schools, even if they open up, like Auburn, let's just say Auburn opens up. Okay, so is Auburn going to go after James Franklin? Like, so you have to sit around and you wait. You can't tell Virginia Tech. And I know folks in Blacksburg have been putting out that, you know, it's his job to turn down. Well, okay, that's fine. Yeah, obviously it would be his job to turn down if he's the one that's been talked to the most. But you I don't think LSU is going to be a spot for James Franklin. I don't think Florida would be a spot unless they struck out on two or three of their candidates, a.k.a. Lane Kiffin, Eli Drinkwitz, I'll probably throw in another name in there. But I think where we are right now with Franklin is I think he's a very good football coach. I think he could go in and turn another program around. I think he would be a fantastic fit at somewhere like North Carolina like in a perfect scenario, I think for North Carolina fans, is Bill Belichick just moves on after the season's over, and James Franklin goes in there and handles that. He already took care of Vanderbilt. He knows how to run an academic institution that also is wanting to get better at football. So I'll throw that one school out there that could make things interesting if you know the Belichick Jordan Hudson saga comes to an end. But yeah, Franklin's got options. I'm curious to see if he jumps on the first one, which would obviously be Virginia Tech.
Trey, getting to the Big Ten with the vacant head coaching position at Penn State. Obviously, when Dan Mullen was at Mississippi State, leaving after that, he was rumored with that Penn State job. Now that he's at UNLV, there's two ways I look at it. One is that he's mentioned to UNLV media before that I'm not going anywhere. To me, it just feels like it's a one-off thing. He's there for one season and tries to find a bigger job. Or if he stays, he could play it smart and play his cards right where he's always in the playoff every year as a G4 or G5 school. I mean, how do you see that playing out? Could he be a potential replacement at Penn State?
You cut out on the name. You're talking about Dan Mullen, correct?
Yes, Dan Mullen.
Yeah. So I know his comments, you know, like, what was it, a week ago? Where he said, I'm not leaving UNLV, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, a lot of coaches say that. To come back and be offered $12 million a year, $11 million a year, and then tell me what you really think. I think that this coaching cycle has – the curiosity to me is because there are so many jobs that are open right now, and I think so many jobs that will come open over the next couple of weeks. I think Dan Mullen would be a great fit. I throw another name at you. It's not Penn State to me. What about Arkansas? Like, get back in the SEC. He knows the recruiting grounds. He could win, in my opinion, at Arkansas. And I'm not talking about college football playoff every year or anything like that. But he would at least know how to get back in the game. I do think that he would be an interesting fit for Penn State. The problem is, it's all about perception for these jobs. So, like the Matt Rhule situation that happened yesterday, where he signed an extension. Okay, well, Penn State's known about that for a week. They knew that Matt Rhule wasn't coming. That's why they were interviewing other candidates over the weekend. So it's all about, you know, some of these schools — I had an athletic director tell me this week — some of these schools are going to hit doubles, and then they're going to try to turn it around and sell it as a home run. While I don't disagree with that sentiment, you have to be very, very careful with who you are hiring as a big school, because you're not only trying to turn the football program around, and Penn State really doesn't need to be turned around. They just need to win a couple of big games. But you got to sell season tickets. You got to get the fans motivated for it. You have to turn the narrative around your program in a sense of, okay, we're going to continue fighting. I think Dan Mullen would do that for the folks that know Dan Mullen. But I think up there, it would be an interesting sell to me. And that's just my opinion. I think it could work, but I think he would be better suited and maybe getting back in the SEC, because if Lane leaves Ole Miss, okay, Ole Miss opens up. Who do they go after? John Summerall probably be my first choice. But what if South Carolina were to open up? Man, Dan Mullen would be a nice little fit over there. So I think Dan Mullen's got options. I just hate he came out last week and tried to say, I'm not going anywhere, I'm staying at UNLV. It's like, when did you ever think you'd hear those words out of a coach's mouth?
Trey Wallace of OutKick is with us. And Trey, we could spend all day talking about the coaching carousel, because I think it's a very interesting conversation. But there are actual games being played this weekend, and among the biggest of them is taking place in Knoxville, Neyland Stadium. Tennessee and Oklahoma in what is essentially a playoff elimination game. Whoever loses is probably out. Who do you think — I don't want to ask you who do you think comes out on top, but what do you think the keys to victory for both teams are in this one?
To me, it's Oklahoma's walking in here and they're like, oh, look at that Tennessee secondary. All right, well, let's see what we can do through the air. The problem is John Mateer is not seeing the football field very well. And some people can blame it on his thumb injury. Some people can blame it on him rushing back, per se, and not being really prepared. But I think this is going to be an interesting battle on how Josh Heupel tries to open up the offense down the field against a really, really, really good Oklahoma defense. And at the same time, Tennessee's going to have to put a lot of pressure on John Mateer. They're going to have to force him into some bad decisions. I personally think we might see something like Ole Miss, Oklahoma, where the score could have been higher in that game. I think this turns into kind of a shootout here. Tennessee's going to try to go deep a number of different times and spread the field open and establish a running game. But looking at it, just on paper as a CFP elimination game, which that's exactly what this is, I think Oklahoma kind of has the upper hand from a personnel standpoint. But, man, you add in what Joey Aguilar has been able to do. You add in the receiving core that seems to take a step against Kentucky. And trust me, I know it's against Kentucky. But at the same time, if you can establish something on the ground, man, that's gonna throw the Oklahoma defense for a curve a little bit. And I think I think Josh Heupel's been watching a lot of film on Lane Kiffin and what they did last week. So it's going to be fascinating. It's a night game. I was at the game when Oklahoma came to town with Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield won that one. I was covering it. Like, that was the loudest stadium I've ever been in my life. Tomorrow, you're giving fans about 13 hours to get lubricated before that game, and it's at night, and it's dark mode, per se, and I just think the atmosphere is going to play a factor in this. I think Tennessee wins tomorrow. I think it's like a 45-41 game. I think it turns into a shootout.
Wow, interesting. Last one for you here, Trey. Vanderbilt, obviously one of those teams that's taken the SEC by storm. They're going into Texas tomorrow. It's an early game, 11 o'clock kickoff. What bodes well for Vanderbilt going into this matchup? Obviously, Arch Manning was in concussion protocol earlier this week. It seems like he'll play. Obviously, Diego Pavia has been the big story of potential Heisman candidate. Where can Vandy, I guess, solidify their game to where they can come out victorious?
Man, this one is fat. Look, I've covered three straight Vanderbilt games, and if you'd have put that on my 2025 bingo card before the season, I'd have probably called you crazy. But let me tell you something. I love this Vanderbilt football team. I said it after the Alabama loss. I was like, all right, just one loss. Like, they're going to be fine. They're going to bounce back. They're going to take this one to heart, and they're going to figure out a way. And what have they done? They did it. They beat LSU, and then they found a different way to beat Missouri. Like, I know the offense wasn't clicking, and I know Bo Pribula, Missouri's quarterback, went down, but they found a way, and that was a defensive performance, and I thought they played really well. You're going on the road. Arch Manning, I am told, is going to be a game-time decision tomorrow, which, in my eyes, that's, you know, the school throwing out a couple of different things and whatnot. I talked to a couple sources about it, and they think he could be able to go, but you take one hit, things can turn around. I just, after what we saw at Vanderbilt's offense last week, which did not have their best game at all, and they would be the first to admit it, and Diego Pavia said it afterwards, I think Vanderbilt goes into Texas and wins tomorrow. There's something about this Clark Lee team that has me peaking when it comes to my ears and comes to what I'm seeing on the field. I think the defensive-wise, like I said, they're going to get after Arch. My biggest thing is, can Diego Pavia escape the craziness that is the Texas defense? And if he can find ways to make plays outside the pocket, this thing can turn around. There's something about Texas, man. Like, to wrap it up here, guys, like, you get out of Kentucky with a win in overtime. You get out of, Starkville, you know, with a win in overtime. Like, at some point, the dam is going to break on them. And I think Texas could probably end up dropping this game to Vanderbilt because Vanderbilt finds different ways to win. So, again, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes either way, just being honest with you guys. But Vanderbilt is heading into this game as an underdog, and I think Clark Lee and Diego Pavia use that to their advantage. Somehow they pull out a win in Austin and shock Longhorn fans.
He's Trey Wallace of OutKick, college football reporter for them, doing a great job for us, or with us, as always, not for us. Trey, appreciate the time. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you very soon.
Guys, have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy college football, and thanks for having me.
Thank you, Trey.
He's, man. He's the man. I could talk shop with him all day. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll step aside. Come back, break down what Trey had to say, all coming up next right here on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. Appreciate Trey Wallace of OutKick for joining us in that last segment. We went a little bit long with him, but I think it was worth it. He gave some great stuff.
So much.
I got a lot to talk about on the other side of the break. Want to talk about Vanderbilt's matchup with Texas as they go on the road to Austin to take on the Longhorns in the playoff eliminator game. Oklahoma and Tennessee. A lot to get there. We'll do that on the other side here on Next Man Up. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game.